What happens when you and I really see the Lord? Well, let's find out on today's episode of Breaking It Down with Brother Ron.
Let's do this, Johnny!
Welcome to the Breaking It Down podcast. I'm Brother Ron, your host, and each week I bring you the inspired Word of God as we together discover and unlock its life-transforming truths. Thanks for listening in. What's up, what's up, what's up, what's up, saints and aints, family and friends. Yeah, welcome to another edition of Breaking It Down with Brother Ron. Hey, y'all, what's happening? I know it's been a while. Man, I took a little hiatus there. Yo! But I'm back. Hold on a second. Somebody calling me? Is that who I think it is? Yo! Brother man, is that you? What do you want now? What's up, man? What's going on?
I know you hear me.
Yeah, brother man, we hear you all the time. Just be quiet and sit in the corner there and take notes. Get your Bible out and be quiet throughout the show. All right, y'all, we're going to jump down in it and get to it. Do it to it. And our passage for today's show and the future shows, because I'm not going to be able to cover all this today, but we're going to be taking a reading today from Isaiah, the prophet, the book of Isaiah. We're going to be looking, reading from chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. So get your Bibles out, blow the dust off your covers, get your fingers, page turning fingers ready as we begin today's episode of Breaking It Down. So Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. And it reads, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged.' Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" That was Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. So in the Bible, we read stories of God's glory being revealed to like the folks like Moses, Solomon, Isaiah, and others, Peter in the New Testament. And this leads us to us wanting to catch a glimpse of the vision of God or the Lord for ourselves. Because when we catch that vision or the glimpse of that vision, it will cause a life-transforming revolution to take place in your life and my life. And you're going to get busy, or we should say, we're going to get busy for the Lord God at that point. So let's break this all down and see what happens when we see the Lord. So as we just read in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is recording his life-transforming vision of God that he experienced in the temple of God back in Jerusalem. And then his subsequent call to a prophetic ministry is one of the most well-known passages in the book of Isaiah, I believe. And that this is true because it contains such a dramatic testimony of a man who was a sinful man who had a what we can call a violent encounter with God. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he lived to tell about it, right? Isaiah's gaze was lifted above and beyond his physical surroundings, and he received a vision of a God that immediately, completely, and permanently changed his life. And the Spirit of God moved Isaiah to record this testimony for us in order that you and I can also get a glimpse of this high view of God. Now, we're not going to have the same personal vision that Isaiah experienced. That was unique to him. But we can, and we need to have a similar or resulting view of God. One of my favorite Christian writers, A.W. Tozer, said that the greatest need of the moment is that the lighthearted, superficial religionists, or Christians, be struck down with a vision of God high and lifted up with his train filling and temple. So as we explore this this passage of scripture from Isaiah 6 over the next few shows, I just want to point out that if we, you and I, are able to gain the slightest glimpse of the glory of God, our whole lives are going to be revolutionized and we're going to be ready to do what God has called us to do. And here's the point we're going to make, or I want to make. Our view of God is everything. If we go over to the book of Jeremiah, let's turn over there quickly. Jeremiah chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verses 23 and 24. And it puts it this way. It says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." So I want to repeat. A right view of God is everything. And without it, we have nothing. Only when we put God, or God is put in the right perspective, is everything else brought into focus in our lives. So let's break down Isaiah's vision as it teaches us three things that are central elements of a high view of God. Number one, God is sovereign. Yes, God is sovereign. Bible's very clear that we can't see God with our physical or our naked eyes. John 4:24 says God's a spirit. In 1 Timothy 6:16, we see that God dwells in an unapproachable light whom no one has ever seen or can see. And 1 John 4:12 plainly puts it, no one has ever seen God. So, yeah, Isaiah is saying in verse 1 that, yeah, he saw the Lord. But how could he see the invisible God? Well, we get an indication of what Isaiah actually saw in the title that he gives to God, the Lord, in verse 1. The title of the Lord is used here in verse 1, and it's also used again, you can see in verse 3, what we saw. But there's a difference between the two. In verse 1, the L in Lord is capitalized, and with the rest of it, the ORD part, in lowercase letters. So you have a capital L, lowercase ORD. But in verse 3, the word Lord there is capitalized altogether. So you have a capitalized L and then an ORD in small capitals. And this is a translator's way of indicating that there are two different Hebrew words being used here in the original language, original Hebrew. In verse 3 and throughout the Old Testament, when we see the word Lord in all capitals, it translates the word Yahweh, the Hebrew word Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H. And then later, vowels were added to that name. So now it's pronounced Jehovah. We call him Jehovah God, Jehovah. Yahweh, Jehovah, one and the same. And it's the proper name for the one true God that means the self-existent one, Jehovah. Means the self-existent one. But back in verse 1, the word Lord is spelled with lowercase letters, like I said, and that translates to a different Hebrew word, and that word is Adonai. Adonai, that's spelled capital A, D as in dog, O-N-A-I, Adonai, which is a title meaning the sovereign one. So we have Yahweh or Jehovah, the name for God that means the self-existent one, right? He's always existed, wasn't created, won't die, always was. That wasn't born. And then we have the second word used in verse one for the Lord, Adonai, spelled with all lowercase letters, which is the title of God, meaning the sovereign one. So once again, Jehovah, the self-existent one, Adonai, the sovereign one. Now, notice here, Isaiah did not see God's essential nature. And I'm going to accent or highlight the word essential. Rather, he saw a vision of God's sovereign authority, which is further indicated when the fact he said he saw God sitting on a throne, right? So God's doesn't have a physical body, right? So he, in reality, he's not sitting on a throne because he's bigger than the throne. But in verse 5, Isaiah says, "My eyes have seen the King." And let me add to that, from verse from John 14, 39, verses 39 to 40, declares that the rejection of Jesus's ministry to be the fulfillment of Isaiah 6 and 10. So then in John 12, 41, we see John saying, and I quote, John, this is John 12, 41, Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory. Whose glory? Who's Isaiah? Who's John talking about? When he says, Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory. So whose glory did Isaiah see? John says that Isaiah saw the glory, saw Christ, had a vision of Christ. It's called a Christophany. Christophany. What's that brother word? Stop using those big words, brother man. I'm sorry, what's, brother man? Okay, Christophany. That means a pre-incarnate vision of Christ. It means Isaiah had a vision of Christ before the birth, ministry, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, his ascension into heaven. Isaiah saw the Lord Jesus enthroned in heaven. So it wasn't the essence of God the Father he saw, because as we saw, no man can see God and live, but he saw a pre-incarnate vision of the Lord Jesus Christ enthroned in heaven. And if you go back to other shows, we talked about Christ. When we focused on Christ, we talked about he's seated, now seated. He said it was infinite. He said it was finished. And in the book of John, he says, once he was on the cross and he's about to die, he says it is finished, and he died. And then we find out that after his death and resurrection, he's now seated at the right hand of God up in heaven on the throne. So that's who Isaiah saw. He saw the pre-incarnate Christ in his vision. So when Isaiah says, in the year of King Uzziah, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, he is there talking about the pre-incarnate Christ, Jesus Christ. All right. So this vision of Isaiah of the Lord, so this vision of Isaiah seeing the Lord enthroned in heaven, it gives us a descriptive definition of God's sovereignty, or the God's preeminence, the preeminence of God. All right, back to the beginning of verse 1. Here we see in the verse, in the year that King Uzziah died, it's giving us a time, a place when this vision takes place. Now, a little background on Uzziah. Uzziah was the ninth king of Judah. And remember, at this time, the nation of Israel was split into two kingdoms. We had the northern kingdom of Israel, with its capital Samaria, and we had the southern kingdom of Judea, with its capital Jerusalem. Anyway, back on track. So we're talking about the split kingdom. So Uzziah was the ninth king of Judah. He took the throne at the tender age of 16, and he reigned for a long time, for 52 years. And if we go over to, let's do that. Let's take a look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 26 gives us the story or the background of Uzziah and his reign in Judah. So beginning at verse 1, now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. And if you want to find out about Amaziah, you can go back up to chapter 25 here, and go back to chapter 25, you can get the history of Amaziah. But anyway, so he was 16 years old and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built, that's Uzziah now, Uzziah built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Let's stop right there. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. You get that, verse 4? All right. So Amaziah, Uzziah's father, he started out doing good too, and then he drifted off from the Lord and got into sin. But now we're looking at his son. Let's see if Uzziah, the son of Amaziah, can do any better. So verse 4, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. See, there it is. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, right? That's Zechariah the prophet. And if you go back and read this later in your own study, read this chapter 26 in 2 Chronicles, and then hook up and check out what Zechariah had to say. So you put the two books together. That's how the Bible works. But anyway, verse 5, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had an understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he, Uzziah, sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now look at that. Let me take a little side track here, little step off the track here. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now, you know, you and I know that this is true in our lives, right? We can say that also for us, that as long as we seek God or seek the Lord, he'll make us to prosper. I can say for a fact, personally, that as I've sought the Lord in my life, the years, the many years of I've been saved and I've been seeking God, I noticed most of my blessings, the ones I receive, I've never really asked for them. They just overtake me. You know, they just come out of nowhere. Why? Because I was too busy trying to get close to God. I was too busy seeking God. And next thing I know, I'm being overtaken by blessings. They're running me down. They're hunting me down. So there's a key principle for life here out of this scripture here, is that when we seek hard after God, the blessings flow, folks, saints and ain'ts, well, mostly saints. The blessings flow. God will prosper us. He'll bless us so long as we're seeking him out, not seeking the things like we hear a lot of times in some of these prosperity churches about naming and claiming. I'm not going there now. I'm a member of a prosperity church, or a church that preaches that prosperity gospel. But what I'm saying is here, he sought God out, not things. And God made him to prosper. That pleases God when we seek him. I'm reading a book I read years ago. I quoted A.W. Tozer at the beginning of this show. It's called The Pursuit of God. If you haven't read it, it's a Christian classic. The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. That's spelled T-O-Z-E-R. And in this book, Tozer is explaining his pursuit of God, how he sought after God. And that's what we're talking about here, pursuing God. We're not pursuing the blessings. The blessings are the icing on the cake. We're pursuing God himself. We want to catch a glimpse of his glory like Isaiah did. And as you see here in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5, as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Let's read on verse 6. Now he, talking about Uzziah again, now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabna, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gerbaal, and against the Meunites. Hang on with me. Brother man, if you can do better pronouncing these words, you're welcome to come on and do it. But otherwise, be quiet. All right. I'm doing my best here. All right. Verse 8. Also, the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. Okay, so God made him to prosper. Now he's becoming exceedingly strong. Verse 9. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress of the wall. When he fortified them, all he built towers in the Also, he built towers in the desert. Okay, let's jump on down. We got that. Verse 11. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies, according to the number on their roll, as prepared by Jael, the scribe Amaseiah. Okay, you got it. The officer under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. We're going to jump down verse 14. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on towers and the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. All right, here it is. This is when it changed, right? So he's being blessed by God. He's got his army going. They're defeating their enemies about them, right? The Philistines and the Arabians and the Meunites and the Ammonites and the Hittites or whoever, Hittites, Brotherites, Hite brothers. Anyway, so he became famous, right? Right. So what happens to people, right? When they do well and they get blessed, they become famous. He became famous far and wide, right? He was marvelously helped until he became strong. Uh-oh. That's a big uh-oh. So verse 16, let's jump over there. But, there you go. Here it is. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Oh, boy. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. So he has a whole squad going after him now. He's gone into the Holy of Holies here, where the high priest was to go. And they withstood Uzziah, talking about the priest, and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious. I like that, furious. He wasn't just mad. He was furious with a capital. What's that, brother man? Yeah, it means angry, all right? Furious. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, beside the incense of the altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him. And there on his forehead he was leprous. Oh, Lord. So he never broke out with leprosy here. God has placed leprosy on him. So they thrust him out of the place because now he was unclean. He had leprosy. And indeed, he also hurried to get out of there. So Uzziah's like, oh, Lord, I'm getting out. The priests are trying to push him out there. Uzziah's like, yeah, let me help you. I'm out of here, y'all. I'm jetting. So he's jetting out of the temple now because the Lord has struck him with leprosy. So in verse 21, it says, King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. Remember, he reigned 52 years as king. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. And then now it says, you can read verse 22, the rest of the acts of Uzziah from the first to the last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, wrote. So Uzziah, verse 23, so Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial, which belonged to the kings. For they said he is a leper. So he didn't get his own tomb or cave like most of the kings did. They buried him in a common field, right, where the common people were buried because he was a leper. And then so Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. So that's a little history about Uzziah there. So just to recap, old good King Uzziah, we see back up in verse 2 Chronicles 26, back up in verse... Where was I want to go? Oh, verse 15. So his fame spread far and wide, and he was marvelously helped by the Lord. So Uzziah was marvelously helped by God, and that led to Judah becoming a great political, military, and economic country. And then he became strong, right? We saw that. And then his heart was lifted up in pride. To his own destruction, because he defied God's sovereignty and violated God's holiness by, you know, intruding on what the priestly service was, what the priest did. He took it upon himself, ignoring God's rules, instruction, violating God's holiness, and went into the Holy of Holies, and he wasn't even consecrated to do so. So we got in there, God struck him with leprosy, and then he died in isolation from the kingdom that he built, that God used to build. Used him to build. So when we see in Isaiah 6 and 1, when he says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. Uzziah had done all this, and Isaiah was fretting over this. It says, but in the year Uzziah died, God revealed to Isaiah, God revealed himself to Isaiah as the Holy One, who is enthroned in sovereign authority forever. And 100 years from now, every head of state in the world we have today, every prime minister or president of a country won't be here, will be off the scene, off stage. But as these rulers die or put out of office or whatever, relinquish their power, God is still sitting on his throne in heaven. Isn't that something? All these thousands of years from Isaiah's time to our present moment, you know, we got Joe Biden as president of the United States, country I'm in. And one day, if it's not this election, then 4 years after that, Joe Biden will be off the scene, right? And we'll have another president. But God, my two favorite words in the Bible, but God, he's still sitting on his throne regardless in heaven. So that's why we need to get a glimpse of the glory of God. We need to see that the Lord, as he is, as Isaiah glimpsed him or saw him high and lifted up. That's what we need to have to get through these times today. The world's crazy. A lot's going on if you follow the news. And we need to take our eyes off what's going on around us and put them on God, to seek him, to catch a glimpse of his glory. Because when we get down to it, we break it all down. God is greater than you and I can ever comprehend. And we need to recognize his sovereignty, his greatness, his glory. Because as we do this, as Uzziah did in the beginning of his reign over Judah, God will bless us. He will bless us as we seek him, seek his glory. Amen. Amen. Well, y'all, that wraps up another study here on Breaking It Down, Brother Ron. I hope you were able to get a lot out of today's study lesson as we looked at the Isaiah chapter 6 and 1, and we talked about seeking the glory of the Lord, or title of the lesson is what happens when you and I really see the glory of God. So we'll pick back up on this next week, and like I said, I don't know how many shows it's going to run. However long the Holy Spirit leads on this, we'll continue on with it. But before I go, I always ask two things of you, my family out there, my fam. One, pray for me, pray for the show, that God will continue to use me as I seek his glory, continue to use me to teach and preach his word, making it simple, breaking it down so everybody can understand it and apply it to everyday life. And number two, tell someone about the show, right? Subscribe to the show, leave comments on Apple Podcasts, Google Cast, whatever platform you listen on, rate the show, give it 5 stars, y'all. Rate the show, leave a comment, but tell somebody else, one or two other people about the show. Because this way, believe it or not, the show grows and God can use it to bless many others, not just us here today. So do that for me, will you? Won't you please? All right. Anyway, like I said, it took a little hiatus, but I'm back and I promise to be regular to weekly shows again. So anyway, we'll see you all next week. Be good. God bless you. Peace. I'm out.